from the direct force of the rain, the wind had blown it into a fine drizzling spray, which had seeped through to every corner of the camp. A thin veil of water lay on top of the stew, cooling it. Their wrist cuffs were taken off for the prisoners to eat, with a ring of guards watching carefully.
Them muskets can't be too reliable in weather like this. Flash in the pan, they will. Even if they tried to keep their powder dry.
Ryan wasn't about to risk his life on that possibility. Once the huddled meal was over, the ankle cuffs were also removed, and the stickies started to shepherd them away from the shelter, along the raised walkway toward the row of kivas. Ryan and Folsom helped Danny along, supported between them. They stopped near the entrance to the partly flooded kiva, while Christy led the rest down inside. Folsom looked across at Ryan.
So long, Carter.
And made his break. Red Folsom didn't even make 20 steps. Folsom let go of Danny's arm, allowing Ryan to take his full weight. The injured man screamed in pain and toppled sideways, dragging Ryan down into the mud with him. As he fell, Ryan squinted through the spray, watching the pathetic failure of Folsom's escape attempt. In dry weather, he might just have had a chance, as stickies were far from the most agile creatures and ran about as well as pigs climb trees. He had the advantage of surprise, as the sodden guards were already mentally back in the warmth of their own homes, and Danny's yell, combined with the two men collapsing into the mud, threw the stickies off balance. Folsom jumped down off the walkway, punching one of the patrol in the groin, managing to snatch a knife from his belt as the sticky folded over. He was only 30 yards from the narrow bridge over the stream, now a river that raged down the valley. Beyond that was good cover provided by the trees and the sheets of rain. It wasn't a bad try. It was, however, unlucky. Folsom was dodging, his plaid shirt darkened with the rain, feet kicking up gouts of red-orange spray around him. The ground was rippled from centuries of feet pounding across it. In dry weather, you were hardly conscious of how uneven it was. In wet weather, it simply appeared like a smooth lake of featureless mud. But in places, the mud was a half inch deep. In other places, a yard away, it might be 9 inches deep. Folsom found one of the pockets where the clammy ooze came halfway up his calf. It trapped his boot, wrenching his ankle, while his other foot skidded away out of control. He crashed down on his side, trying to take the impact with his right hand, but Folsom was lost. His elbow struck first. The large knife, his only weapon, went spinning from nerveless fingers, skittering through the slick mud, over the brink of the central drop, and into the brown water of the river. By the time he got onto his hands and knees, shaking his head like a bullock under the poleaxe, it was all over.
Fire blast.
Ryan bent down to help Danny to his feet again. Harold came to his assistance. Christy also did her best to aid the fallen man. The others were watching, faces stricken at the disaster. One of the guards kicked Folsom in the ribs, a dull, vicious blow that rolled him onto his back, one hand covering his eyes against the teeming rain. The rest of the stickies clustered around him, their muskets hefted by the long muzzles, ready to beat the man to death. Ryan glanced around, wondering with a flash of intuition whether this might be a good moment to try his own break. But Christy was caught, half in the flooded pit, trying to support the injured Danny. There was no way she could get out fast enough. The moment passed. Charlie appeared.
Don't injure him! And keep your eyes on the other nine!
The man drew back reluctantly from the prostrate figure.
Get him up and put him away, far from the other norms!
The rain eased an hour or so later, and finally stopped around 8 o'clock that same night. By nine, the skies had cleared, and the air tasted fresh, green, and very cold. The fires were lighted again. Heaps of dry wood piled on until the darkness seemed to be filled with cascades of crackling sparks. The first hour or so in the kiva had been difficult and dangerous. The water was draining very slowly, even after the heaviest of the torrent had ceased. It took three of them to keep Danny's head high enough to save him from drowning, which meant that all of the others were cramped into chillingly cold and uncomfortable corners. It was the very Reverend Joe Bob Jarman who complained most.
I'm the tallest, so I should be in the center.
He tried to push Christy out of his way with his bony elbows, which turned out to be a big mistake. Christy turned on him, lifting her foot and scraping the side of the leather sole down the front of his shin as hard as she could, finishing by grinding her heel into his instep.
Ow! Fucking bitch!
You pray to God with that mouth?
Christy doubled her fingers and jabbed Jarman with all her strength on the outside of the thigh muscle on the undamaged leg. The blow paralyzed it, so that it suddenly collapsed and slithered out of their sight, reappearing, coughing and choking, hands flailing for a grip on the smooth walls of the kiva. A little later, Darina fainted and had to be supported until she came around again. Her eyes had rolled back in their sockets, and she was moaning and trembling uncontrollably. Around 10 o'clock, a posse of guards came to unbolt the metal grill from the pit and order them out into the open. The guards were visibly on edge, pushing with their blasters and shouting inarticulate and incomprehensible commands.
What do they want this late?
Ryan glanced at Christy, whose hair was soaked and hung limply over her shoulders, and got a hurried shake of the head in response. She felt the same as he did. What was about to go down wasn't going to be good news. They were right. Folsom was stripped completely naked, his pale body showing the livid bruises of the beating that the Sticky's leader had interrupted. Blood was kicked around his nose and mouth, trickling down over his chest, etched black in the dancing firelight. His eyes were closed, though Ryan suspected that he was a good deal more conscious than he was letting on. There was a gash across the top of his head, and his red hair was thickly matted. His hands had been tied behind him with thin wire, which had forced more blood to seep from under his now purple fingernails.
Stand the others over there and chain their ankles. Let the Norm see how we treat their kind.
There was no point in struggling against such overwhelming armed force. While the shackling took place, Folsom stood silent and still. Occasionally, there would be a ripple of movement in the crowd of watching Stickies, and words were called out. But Ryan couldn't make out what was being shouted. Shirley turned to one of his lieutenants and said something. The mutie went immediately into the throng and was clearly handing out some sort of a warning. There was no more shouting. When every captive was safely in bondage, Shirley turned again to face them, holding a triumphant right fist in the air, like a victorious fighter.
Now you'll see it!
The Stickies reacted like animals scenting their evening meat. At Charlie's side, there stood a young female holding a rusty iron bowl.
What the hell's in that?
Nobody answered, Bob. Nobody knew. A number of iron bolts had been driven deep into the cliff at the distant end of the camp, beyond the last of the small houses. Folsom was drawn up against them, one hand fixed to a ring level with his head, the other strained out sideways, chained to another circular bolt. He stood there, trembling with the cold. Fear. Charlie approached the naked man, the female close at his elbow. He had drawn a short-bladed knife from his belt.
God go with you, Red Folsom.
Folsom's eyes stayed tight shut, his mouth an etched line. When Charlie beckoned another of the young Sticky women to join him, Ryan guessed what was to come. The female was holding a small cooking ladle in one hand and a flaming torch in the other.
Black powder.
Charlie was closer to Folsom, the knife dancing like a living flame in the reflected light of the campfires.
Why black powder? What's he... Gaia!
The first cut was a slow, considered slice across the center of the chained man's stomach. The Sticky was careful not to push the knife in too deep and cause any terminal wound. Just deep enough to peel back a flap of skin and muscle, 5 or 6 inches long. He pulled it wider with his fingers, it resembled the pouch of a marsupial. Harold began to vomit. At an impatient gesture from Charlie, the female tipped a ladle full of the fine gritty powder into the oozing wound. The young female Sticky dipped the end of the torch toward the brimming gash in the man's stomach. There was at first a fountain of sparks, then flame and smoke.
I will fear no evil because you brought my blood, but holy God, I'm frightened.
But for Ryan, this was simply confirmation that Charlie, despite his undoubted skills and intellect, was just another vicious maniac Sticky underneath the polished veneer. The next 40 minutes were bloodily predictable and vile. In the past, Ryan had traveled through the deserts of the Southwest. He'd witnessed firsthand the ingenious tortures of some of those peoples. What Charlie was doing to ensure the doomed Red Folsom an appalling and delayed passing was nothing new. Folsom passed out at least four times.